Welcome to Assets and Aging, Affording the Future, the live local show that's all about the issues of aging. What about veterans benefits? We're going to talk about those today. What about Medi-Cal? What about recovery? What does Medicare pay for nursing homes? What does Medicare pay for? What if my mom needs assisted living? How do I find a good caregiver? How do I find one that shows up? How do I find one that's not on drugs or drunk? Or how do I pay for all of that? How do we make wise decisions? How do we determine what level of care mom or dad or my spouse or grandma or grandpa need? How do we deal with all the stuff, the tons of stuff that we run into every day in our families and our friends? And, you know, how do we deal with all of that? How do we make sense out of the issues of aging? How are we wise about it? How do we not get caught up in all the scams that are out there from phony nonprofits? And there are tons of them, folks. I can't even begin to describe to you how many there are out there when it comes to senior issues. How do we determine somebody that knows something about something and somebody that doesn't know something about something? How do we pick wisely? How do we choose wisely? How do we build a knowledge base that we can use to make wise decisions for our family and our friends and those around us as they age? Good morning and welcome to Assets and Aging, Affording the Future, California's single best source. I don't care what anybody says. Single best honest source of information as it relates to aging and the issues of aging. Not what we think is going to happen, but what really happens. Not what we hope is going to happen, but what really happens. Not what we think of in our fantasy life that's going to happen, but what's really going to happen to everybody we love as we get older and we get more frail and we're less able to take care of ourselves and those around us. How are we going to make wise decisions? Glad to have you with us. My name is Bob Scrivano. This show, 18 years here on KFBK, California, and probably the country's longest running series on the issues of aging and how do we take care of those that we love as they become more frail and more fragile and all of those kinds of things. Remember, I'm not an attorney. I don't practice law. If you want an attorney, consult one that knows what the heck they're talking about. I know the good ones. I know the bad ones. I know the mediocre ones. I know what to look for in the good ones and the bad ones and the mediocre ones. I do not sell securities. I don't want to, because then I don't have to lie to you. I can tell you the truth. Are there good brokers out there? Yeah. Are there a lot of bad ones out there? Yeah. It's like anything else, folks. How do we pick up the appropriate kinds of facilities? Are there good ones or they're bad ones? I have a California insurance license. I've had one for 40 years, but I have to tell you that because this show might be secretly about life insurance or something. I don't know. It's a rule. If I told you the source of the rule, you wouldn't believe me. But trust me, there's actually a source of the rule that says I have to say that. I have a legal document assistant license recorded and bonded in Sacramento County. You can look it up there, recorded in Sacramento County. I'm a notary, and I can't repair your inkjet printer. There's probably something else I forgot to say. Oh, everything we talk about here is my opinion, my editorial opinion, and my own opinion only, and shall not be taken as any form of legal, tax, or other advice. Again, it's my opinion. My opinion is right a lot of the time, but it's still my opinion. Okay, I want to talk about VA benefits, so don't let me forget to get to VA benefits. But I want to talk about something. You know, we went to a birthday party the other day for a friend. And it was the friend's 70th birthday party. I'm going to be 71 soon. And everybody at the table was at least 70 or older. You know, these are the people that we've grown up with, our friends, the people we're close to. And as all generations do, we tend to hang out with people that are around our own age that we've known for a long time. And as we went around the table and we all just talked about our lives and what's going on and kids and grandkids and all the normal stuff that we all talk about, because we all talk about the normal stuff, it became evident that every single one of us has physical problems. Every single one of us, from failing eyesight to eye surgery to macular degeneration to artificial joints to vital organs that have been removed to a frailty. And then as the discussion began to move to our parents, the dementia that exists, and all of those kinds of things. But one of the interesting conversations that I had was I was there with someone who is a research scientist. And this person is a research scientist in Alzheimer's and other forms of dementia. And one of the things we were talking about, the person has an earned doctorate, this is a smart person. And we were talking, and I said, one of the problems I have with listeners and one of the problems I have with clients, he does drug studies and other stuff, folks, on drugs that may help dementia or Alzheimer's or whatever. As I said, people will tell me that they're terrified of the A word being Alzheimer's. They'll say, well, mom doesn't have Alzheimer's. She just has a little dementia or a little forgetfulness. And I couldn't get the next sentence out of my mouth, which would have agreed with him when he said, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter, does it? And I said, no, it doesn't. Whatever you call it, whether you call it dementia or Alzheimer's or old age or forgetfulness or whatever, it's going to get worse. I made a mistake there. He was the one person there that wasn't over 70. He was the child of one of the people there that was over 70. My point is, we're all going to get older. We're all going to become more frail. We're all going to face long-term care issues and care issues, unless death intervenes. But that's going to happen to us. We all want to live to a ripe old age. Everybody wants to live to a ripe old age. Remember, half the people over age 85 have some form of dementia. So when we say we want to live to be a ripe old age, we want to live to be a nice old little old lady or little old man, we want our mom or dad or whatever, we need to make sure we're talking about quality of life when we talk about those things and care needs and care issues and all of that kind of stuff. We need to make sure we're having the complete discussion, not just a wish. This is not Disneyland. This is not when you wish upon a star. This is not Tinkerbell that's going to go around and spread some long-term care fairy dust somewhere and make it all go away. In the real world, old age doesn't go away. Frailty doesn't go away. So that's what this show has been dedicated to, and that's why I say it's California's single best source for information on this subject, because this is the one place where you won't get pandered to. This is the one place where you're not going to hear and get patted on the head and hear somebody say, oh, it's all going to be okay, sweetie. Don't worry about it. I know when people come to see me, a lot of them are kind of put off because I'm fairly straightforward with this stuff. But I've learned over the years that I don't try to be unrealistic about it. I'll try to be as kind as I can be. But you need to understand that your mom and your dad or your spouse or whoever it is, as they get older, is going to become more frail and more needy. Not in a financial sense, but in a care sense. We are all going to become more needy. I don't bound up and down stairs anymore. I am aware of my fall risk. I am aware of how to get up out of a chair correctly. I am aware about the correct use of a walker and who should be using it and why sometimes a cane isn't a good idea. Sometimes it is. Sometimes it adds to falls. You need to be at least as honest about your circumstance or that of your parents. Okay, I want to spend the rest of our the first section but the part, and maybe it'll go over into the second section. I want to talk about veterans a little bit. We just finished the 4th of July, and I want to talk about vets a little bit. I love vets. I love vets. I'm not a vet. I didn't have to go. I didn't like move to Canada or something. My number never got called. I'm not a vet. But lots of my clients are, and lots of my friends are. Lots of them. At my age, I have lots of friends and acquaintances who were in Vietnam. I have lots of people my age whose children were in the Middle East. I've spoken to, I can't tell you how many veterans organizations. By the way, I will come and speak to your organization or your church or your group anytime, anywhere. All you have to do is call and ask me. We'll set up a time. It's free. So, I love vets, and vets need, and the surviving spouse of vets need to understand about veterans' benefits. There's a lot of misinformation. There's a lot of phony nonprofits. There are insurance agencies that have veterans in their name or military in their name. I just saw a new one the other day I won't tell you the name of it, but it's a website that I trust. They know more about veterans' benefits than anybody in America. There was one I never heard about of back in St. Louis that's on their watch list. There are all kinds of people out there doing veterans' benefits. I am not an accredited VA agent, and everything we talk about here is my opinion about veterans' benefits only and should not be taken as any form of specific advice. I have to say that. I do know accredited agents. I know people who are really good at this, and I know how to help people get to that place. There are several different kinds of VA benefits. The one most people are familiar with are retirement pensions. You spend your 20 years or whatever it is in the military. One of the people that was there the other night had been in the military for like 28 years and was retired military, and he gets a pension. That everybody's kind of familiar with that. That VA benefit is available, and it can be passed on in some cases to spouses. I have to admit, I don't know a lot about VA benefits, pension benefit, the regular, serve your 20 years. I have a good friend who's a retired general, and she gets a VA pension benefit because she retired after X number of years. Okay. And that's a very common one. That's not the one I want to spend a little time talking about today, because that one is pretty simple. You serve your time, you get the pension, assuming you don't do anything wrong along the way. The two I want to spend a little time on are a benefit called aid in attendance. It also has another name. It has some other names. And another one called service-connected disability. Let's spend a little time here talking about service-connected disability in our next few minutes in this segment. Service-connected disability is a disability, exactly what it sounds like. It's a disability connected with your time in service. So something happened while you're in the service, and as a result of that, you have some kind of disability. So a hand grenade went off next to your head, and you're now deaf. That's a service-connected disability. You were practicing parachute jumping, and your parachute didn't open all the way, and you're now partially disabled. You were shot and wounded, and you have a disability as a result of that. Something to do with your time in the service. You may not be retired. You may not have spent 20 years. You may have only spent 2 years or a year, and you were injured, and that's a service-connected disability. And that could be anywhere from a couple percent up to 100% service-connected disability, which means you get a tax-free benefit and your spouse may be eligible for part of that benefit for the rest of your life, including, you know, and it's tax-free. That there are lots of different kinds of service-connected disabilities. And if you want a list of all of them, you can go to the VA website. I think it's va.gov. And it'll tell you all about them. Two that I want to focus on today are Agent Orange and radiation. Very few people know that. Lots of people have heard about Agent Orange. I shouldn't say very few. But there are, last time I looked, 20-some diseases associated with Agent Orange. And if you spent any time in Vietnam or in the demilitarized zone, because they used Agent Orange in the demilitarized zone in Korea, then you may be eligible for a service-connected disability related to Agent Orange. Now, they're trying to expand some of those. Senator Claire McCaskill, I believe, right now has a bill in Congress and guess who's against it? The VA. The VA is against this for World War II veterans who were on whom mustard gas was used. Not World War I. They were still using mustard gas in World War II. And she's trying to get a bill passed that would allow how many of them can there be left, folks? World War II vets who have diseases associated with mustard gas. But the VA is actively opposing it, and members of Congress are opposing it. You should all be on the phone to your state your U.S. representative and U.S. senator tomorrow demanding that that bill get passed. I mean, seriously, how many? There's like a 90-some-year-old vet who they're trying to get benefits for, and the VA is denied him benefits because mustard gas isn't on the list. For crying out loud, how many vets are there that have disabilities related to mustard gas? There can't be that many. Pass the bill. Okay? But Agent Orange, there are still a lot of people who are eligible and are going to continue to become eligible for Agent Orange. Agent Orange was 2,4-D. It was an herbicide that was used in the United States to kill weeds on farms, and then was used in Vietnam in the demilitarized zone to defoliate the jungle so that our soldiers could see the enemy. And people were sprayed with it and covered with it, and aircraft were covered with it all the time. In fact, one of the undersecretaries of the VA that they just tried to appoint was an Agent Orange denier. He's a former vet, and he doesn't want any vets. He didn't last very long. That's why you need to keep up with this stuff, folks. But if you are in Vietnam, and you don't have to have been on the front lines, all you have to have done is put one foot on the ground in Vietnam and develop any of these diseases. Now, there are some of you who are going, well, I was in Vietnam, but I was never really there. I was just on an airplane that flew through Vietnam, and we refueled on our way to the bases in Thailand or Cambodia or wherever they were. You qualify for Agent Orange benefits. The Greywater Navy guys do. There's a bill in Congress that's being opposed that would allow Blue Water Navy guys to get Agent Orange benefits because the airplanes used to come back to the aircraft carriers covered with that stuff, and the guys would wash the airplanes down and crawl around inside of them, and of course we're all exposed to Agent Orange. If you're an agent, if you were in Vietnam and you have any one of I don't even remember what the current number is, it's 20 some diseases, then you may be eligible for up to 100% service connected disability. It makes a huge difference in people's lives. You don't have to have carried a gun. You just need to have been in theater for one moment, one part of 1 hour of one day. If you think that that may apply to you, then give me a call and I can help point you in the right direction so that you can get the benefits, the service-connected benefit to which you are entitled. Again, it's a presumptive disability. If you have any of the diseases on the list and you were in country, then it is presumed that those diseases were caused by Agent Orange. Don't lose out on a benefit because you're not sure. You know, one of the diseases is diabetes. One of them is heart disease. They're not weird. You know, some of them are very specific, like Parkinson's and a couple other things. Certain kinds of cancers are covered. So if you think that you're on the list and you were in Vietnam, which means it is supposed then that because you were exposed to Agent Orange, you may be entitled to benefits and they're tax-free and they could be a lot. They could be in the tens of thousands of dollars a year. Tax-free. The other service-connected disability I want to talk about is radiation. You know, we had 30-some above-ground blasts, nuclear blasts, including the ones in Japan. And a lot of vets were exposed to that radiation. After the armistice, a lot of our vets walked around Hiroshima and Nagasaki after the war as part of the peacekeeping mission after the war and were exposed to that radiation. A lot of vets were exposed to radiation from above ground nuclear testing. They used to line them up in the Pacific and in Nevada and in New Mexico and then light the candle and go, let's see what happens. Well, there are benefits available to those vets, including cash awards. Both of the above benefits that I talked about end when you die. So if you're entitled to any of those benefits and you wait until you die, it's like too late. But while you're alive, those are just two service-connected disabilities that a lot of people don't know about or have never thought about. And it's available to you if you're a vet, and it can make all the difference in the world. It can allow you to stay to get care at home. It can allow you to not have to go to a nursing home. It can allow you to get the best care possible. It entitles you to VA hospitalization and VA medical care and a whole bunch of other stuff. My point is there, and I'm not going to have a chance to get to it in this half hour. I'll get it to it in the second half hour, which is the other veterans benefit called aid in attendance that surviving spouses can also get. But if you were exposed to Agent Orange, if you were in Vietnam, or you were exposed to above ground radiation from nuclear testing, you may be eligible to a service connected disability, which can be considered up to 100%, which could literally mean tens of thousands of dollars in benefits that you earned for being a vet that you're entitled to and that you should take advantage of. It just can make all the difference in the world. As you begin to look around your family and your friends, who of them served in the military? You know, I just learned about another benefit today I didn't even know about. I guys that are coming home from the desert with PTSD, did you know there's a VA program where their wives can get paid for taking care of them? Their spouses can get, can be men or women, can get paid for taking care of them? How many of you even knew that existed? I didn't even know that existed until today. I'm not making this up. I didn't even know it existed, folks, until today. But there actually is a VA benefit. It's called Assistance. It's U.S. Code 1720G, Program of Comprehensive Assistance for Family Caregivers. And yes, it's available, and a spouse can get paid for taking care of a vet who has PTSD. If you're a vet, make sure you've explored the benefits that you're entitled to, that you earned, that you worked for. Don't let anybody convince you, I was just doing my duty. Yeah, you were doing your duty. That's why these benefits exist, because you went and did what your country called you to do, and you should be proud of it. If you're not sure, give me a call. If I can't help, I'll put you in touch with people who can. But don't miss out on a veteran's benefit just because you didn't know about it, or you didn't think you were entitled to it, or whatever. When we come back, we're going to talk about aid in attendance, which is a non-service-connected benefit that not only are veterans eligible for, but the surviving spouse of a veteran can be eligible for, and in some cases, children to go to college if you have a service-connected disability. We'll get to all of that in just a second. Don't go away. If you have any questions, remember you can always call me at 800-999-8007 or go to my website, assetsandaging.com. Go to my podcast. Spend some time on my website, assetsandaging.com. Get to a workshop. Give me a call. But today, begin to understand what you're entitled to and how I can help. We'll be back in just a second. Don't go away. Welcome back to Assets and Aging, Affording the Future. You know, I forgot to do this at the beginning of the hour, so let me do it now. Don't forget there's lots of ways you can get a hold of me. Sometimes I feel so pressed for time because of what I want to talk about, I forget about the things I should always talk about. And one of them is, how do you get a hold of me? It's really simple. You call me up at 800-999-8007, even if you're in Sacramento where this show originates. You call my 800 number, 800-999-8007. You can also go to my website, assetsandaging.com, assetsandaging, assetsandaging.com. You can go there anytime. You can cruise around. You can sign up for a workshop. I have an upcoming workshop always. You can listen to my podcast live every Wednesday. You can get my email newsletter. It's free. You can sign up for an appointment. You can call me and get an appointment. They're free. But there's lots of ways for you to get help. There's lots of ways for you to make a difference in your life or the life of a loved one or a neighbor or a friend or a parent or whoever it is. But there's always help available. And again, if nothing else, write down my phone number, 800-999-8007. 800-999-8007. Well, we're talking about VA benefits. So let me talk about another common one, and one in which there's a lot of misunderstanding. A lot. And a lot of it has to do with the VA doesn't even have clearly defined rules when it comes to this subject. The VA doesn't even have clearly defined guidelines. If you go to the VA website and try to understand aid in attendance, your eyes will glaze over. It's just the way it is, folks. There's also an enormous amount of misinformation. An enormous amount of misinformation about aid in attendance. I can't tell you. I've been thrown out of them. Going to workshops on aid in attendance in assisted living facilities or independent living facilities and having the guy, whoever's doing the workshop, stand up there and tell you they know all about this, only to find out not only they are not an accredited agent, they really represent an insurance agency. And what nobody tells you is that the facility is in cahoots and gets a piece of the action. So be careful when it comes to aid in attendance. And I'm telling you, everything I'm talking to you about right now is my opinion only. And it's just that. It's my opinion only. Okay. So let's talk about aid in attendance. Oh, before I do that, before I forget, I'll get to aid in attendance. I just want to let you know, for those of you that have a service-connected disability, and I don't have time to go into it a lot, how many of you knew that there's actually a benefit, not only if you're alive, but if to your children if you're dead, if you were killed in action, or you have 100% service-connected disability, there's a program that the VA has that will help pay the tuition for your children to go to college. No, I'm not making that up. Okay, I don't have time. That's not the focus of my show today, so I don't have a lot of time to go into it, but I will tell you that it exists. So if you know someone who was killed in action, has children, those children may be entitled to having the VA help pay their college tuition. Okay, let's talk about aid in attendance. Aid in attendance is non-service connected. It means it's a benefit that doesn't have anything to do with you being injured in any way while you were in the military. It's got nothing to do with that. You don't have to be disabled. You don't have to have been disabled when you were in the military to receive this benefit. And this benefit is available not only to the veteran, but to the surviving spouse of the veteran, and in some cases to the veteran and his wife, if they're both still alive, depending on the circumstance. Now, the amount of money changes every year, so I'm not going to give you an exact amount because you might listen to this down the road and the numbers have all changed. But the numbers are about $1,800 for a veteran and about $1,150 a month for the surviving spouse of a veteran, tax-free. Notice I said about because there's other rules and regulations and there's little differences and it changes every year. So don't get hung up on the exact number. Here's the deal. It's called aid and attendance. There are three basic qualifications. Now I'm going to give you basic ones. The basic qualifications are 90 days of continuous active service. That you have to have been active duty for 90 consecutive days. One of those days must have been during a time of war. That gets very confusing. Notice I didn't say you have to be in the war. It has to be during a time of war. And so there are specific dates for World War II, for Korea, for Vietnam, for the Middle East, and so on. There are specific dates, and don't worry, you can go to the VA website and look them up. I have them. I'm not going to go over them all with you. They'll just be confusing and take away from the subject matter. So 90 continuous days of active duty, one day of which was during a time of war. So you could have been in during Vietnam and been a cook at a base in Kansas and you met the first two requirements. 90 days continuous active duty, one day of which was during a time of war. The third one is basically an honorable discharge. You can't have had a dishonorable discharge, and there are some other discharges you can't have had. So basically, you have to have had an honorable discharge. It's not 100% true. I'm not going into all the exceptions. So 90 continuous days of active duty, one day during a time of war, honorable discharge. Those are the three basic elements. The fourth element is you have to be receiving some form of needed care. This is not a benefit that's available if you just need more money to buy peanut butter. It's called aid and attendance. I need aid and I need somebody attending me with that aid. So there has to be some kind of medical need. Either I'm receiving care at home, I'm living in an assisted living facility, I'm in a boarding care, I'm receiving some form of needed medical care. It does not include nursing homes. There is a benefit. It's only 90. It's a different benefit. It's $90 or whatever it is. Not talking about that. Nursing homes or Medi-Cal, different subject. But aid and attendance will help provide a benefit for a veteran or the surviving spouse of a veteran who needs care either in the home, in a boarding care, or assisted living. You have to have a need for some kind of care. And then there's one other kind of nebulous rule, Don't worry about getting the letter of the law down here. I'm trying to get you to understand it in general that it's available, which is the cost of medical care must at least equal your income. Now, someone would say, well, Bob, why is that a good idea? Well, here's why it's a good idea. Let's say mom has $1,000 a month of income, and mom could go into a boarding care. She's got a little bit of savings, but her savings would go fast. Well, if she goes into a boarding care and she spends her $1,000 a month on the boarding care, that's medical care, she's now eligible for about another $1,150 a month. So by spending $1,000, she gets another approximately $1,150 a month tax-free to pay for care. So mom's available money now to help pay for care is gone from $1,000 a month, her Social Security, up to about $2,150 a month. That buys a lot more care. Or I've got a veteran, and the veteran and his wife have $2,500 a month of income. And the veteran needs care, and they would like to move into assisted living, but the assisted living costs $4,000 a month. They don't have $4,000 a month. They only have $2,500 a month of income. But if they move into assisted living together, they may qualify for at least another approximately $1,800 a month, which now brings their income up to $4,300 a month, and now they can afford assisted living. It's a life changer, folks. It's a life changer. I can't say it in any other way. It's a life changer. It makes all the difference in the world. But Bob. Do I have to sell my house? No. You don't have to sell your house. I had somebody call me the other day who said they had gone to see somebody, and they told them they couldn't get aid in attendance in assisted living because they owned a house. That's nonsense. It's not true. Now, there are some asset requirements, but they're fairly straightforward and they're fairly easy to deal with. I'm not going to tell you what they are because they're actually not hard and fast. It depends on where the money is, how the money, what kind of things the money is in. Are they in IRAs? Are they not in IRAs? But there are some asset limits. But it's not a difficult thing to deal with. But aid in attendance is a life changer for people. There's no particular thing you have to buy. I know you've been told, you've heard, you've been to a seminar somewhere where they told you you had to buy something. No, you don't. There's no VA-approved things. Don't confuse the VA home in Yountville with this. Remember, the VA homes in California are owned by the state of California. They follow the Medi-Cal rules. In fact, there's recovery if you're in a VA home in the state of California, because it follows the Medi-Cal rules. So don't confuse the VA homes with aid in attendance. Aid in attendance is a veteran's benefit available to a veteran or the surviving spouse of a veteran to help pay for care at home, care in a boarding care, or care in assisted living, and it's a life changer. It's a life changer. Now, sorting truth from fiction is another thing altogether. And I can't begin to tell you how many stories I have heard about all kinds of stuff. I can also tell you that the VA is an administrative nightmare. I don't even know how many hundred. At one time, they were 800,000 cases behind on aid in attendance. I don't know what that's up to. The last number I heard was they were only 600,000 behind. So I don't know how many they're behind now. But administratively, the VA is a nightmare. So sometimes it takes a little while to get the benefit. The good news is it's almost always retroactive. The bad news is the benefit ends when the person dies. So if they die before the benefit's been approved, under certain circumstances, the benefit dies with them. So again, it's important to understand that you need to obtain these benefits and apply for these benefits while people are alive. It's really, really important. But aid in attendance, I cannot begin to tell you how many lives I have watched it improve. Be careful who you get advice from. Be careful of just going to aid in attendance workshops, because they're almost always run by insurance agencies or someone in working in conjunction with the home that you're going to, in which they split fees. So be careful. I'm not telling you don't do it. I'm just telling you be careful. Understand the benefits, the VA benefits to which you're entitled. Understand the difference between service-connected disability, survivor disability, aid and attendance programs, all the other, you know, understand the difference between TRICARE, TRICARE for life. There are some TRICARE programs that will pay for nursing homes. If you're disabled, there are some VA programs that will pay for a nursing home. There are all kinds of VA programs that are so varied and different that when you say, well, he's eligible for help from the VA, that can mean any one of a thousand different things, from being able to go to a VA hospital to service-connected disability, to radiation disability, to aid and attendance. And aid and attendance is sometimes called an improved pension benefit. So it sounds like it's tied to VA pensions, so therefore I don't qualify for it. No, it's not. It's all very confounding. So don't be confused about all of this. There's no need to be confused. There's help available. There's information available. You can get a hold of me. You can go to the VA website. When you come to one of my workshops, it's one of the areas on which I will take questions. The workshops aren't aimed at VA benefits, but I do get a lot of questions about VA benefits. So if you sign up and come to one of my workshops, you may get your questions answered. Or call me up and come and see me. It's also, and this is important, And you're going to go, Bob, please don't do this to us. We're so confused now. But there's a big difference between VA qualification and Medi-Cal qualification. For instance, for eligibility, not recovery, not share of cost, but for Medi-Cal eligibility, IRAs don't count. For the VA, IRAs count. So it's really important that you understand the difference between VA rules and Medi-Cal rules. Medi-Cal has look-back provisions. Currently, the VA does not, although they've already proposed regulations that would create a look-back period for VA benefits. That's why you listen to this show, because I will keep you up to date on when the VA ever gets around to passing those. But currently, there's no look-back period for the VA. There is a quote-unquote look-back period for Medi-Cal. Currently, there's recovery for nursing home Medi-Cal. There's no recovery for the VA. There are transfer penalties for both. So in other words, if you make an improper transfer, you could be penalized under both VA benefits and Medi-Cal. So it's important that you understand that there's a difference. You don't have to understand all the differences. That's what you can call me for. But you need to understand that there is a difference. So aid and attendance is available not only to the vet, but to the surviving spouse of the vet. So dad was in World War II or Vietnam or wherever. Dad died. Mom now needs help. Mom may be eligible for aid and attendance as the surviving spouse of the vet. Now, this is important. generally speaking, there are exceptions, but generally speaking, if you and the vet got divorced, then you don't have right to aid and attendance because you used to be married to a vet. The last person you were, some people will say, well, my first husband wasn't a vet, but my second husband was. Oh yeah, how long were you married? Okay, because there's a regulation, don't worry about it. Okay, so your first husband wasn't a vet, but your second husband was a vet. When he died, were you married? Yes, we were. Did you remarry? No, I didn't. Then you're probably eligible for aid and attendance as the surviving spouse of a veteran. I wish I could just pretend and wave a magic wand and pretend all the rules were the same and simple, but they're not. What I do want you to take away from this, and what is simple, is that there is a benefit and that it is available, and it's available to a lot of people that don't know it's available, or get Medi-Cal and the VA confused, or get lookbacks confused, or get I can't have a house in, but I can have a house confused. Don't be confused. Take away from this that there is a benefit available. Take away from all of this that there are service-connected benefits available to vets. There are service-connected benefits available to vets for Agent Orange and for above-ground radiation exposure, in addition to a whole host of other things. There are benefits available to the surviving children of vets who are disabled or who died in combat to go to college. There are benefits available to vets who need help at the end of life and who served during a time of war, had 90 days, you know, of continuous active duty, and served at least one day during a time of war, and that same benefit for help with assisted living or home care is available to the surviving spouse of the vet. What you need to take away from all of this is there's help available. There's help available to pay for long-term care, either through Medi-Cal or the VA, through service-connected disabilities, through extra benefits like aid and attendance or educational benefits for children or all kinds of things. Or the one I just learned about today, the benefit that's available to pay the spouse of vets with PTSD for taking care of them. I didn't even know that benefit existed until today. Seriously, I just one of the listservs I'm on, somebody asked the question. An accredited agent didn't know the answer, and they came up with the answer, and I'd never heard of the benefit before. So if you're a spouse taking care of someone with PTSD from Desert Storm or from one of the conflicts in the Middle East, you may be eligible for benefits, for paid benefits for taking care of your PTSD spouse. By the way, PTSD from the Middle East is a ticking time bomb. And when you talk to psychiatrists who deal with vets, they will tell you there are a lot of vets, and PTSD is latent. So please, if you're a vet or you know a vet that served in the Middle East and they're exhibiting erratic behavior, get them to a VA doc or a doc. There's help available to vets with PTSD. There's lots of things. I love vets. I'm indebted to vets. I get to do this stupid radio show because of vets. You get to listen to this radio show because of vets, because we live in a country where I can have a radio show like this. We are just blessed with so many things because of what vets have done. And they need to understand the benefits that are available to them and their friends and family need to understand the benefits that are available to them and avail themselves of those. No vet should be homeless. No vet should go without help. No vet should suffer alone or his family from PTSD, or no family should have to lose everything just because at the end of their life a vet needed home care or assisted living care or nursing home care. Give me a call. 800-999-8007. If you have questions, if you're not sure what the questions even are or what the answers are, give me a call and we'll talk. Get to one of my upcoming workshops. Listen to my podcasts every Wednesday, live at noon. How do you do that? By going to my webpage. My webpage is simple, but it's thorough. My webpage is just the name of this show, Assets, A-S-S-E-T-S, and A-N-D, Aging, A-G-I-N-G, assetsandaging.com, assetsandaging.com. No one has to suffer in silence, whether it's nursing home issues, Medi-Cal issues, VA issues, struggling with a declining parent or spouse or grandparent or friend or whoever it is. There are answers available. There's help available. Get to one of my upcoming workshops. You can sign up on my website. You can sign up for an appointment on my website. My appointments are free. My consultations are free. Get the help that you need with that person in your family that is becoming more frail, more fragile, needs more help, needs a helping hand. 800-999-8007. 800-999-8007. And again, thanks, vets, for all that you do, all you continue to do, and for all those that are serving today. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We'll see you again here next week. Look forward to seeing you on the podcast and at one of my workshops. Come in and say hello. See you next week right here on Assets and Aging, Affording the Future.